All right, everybody has a lot of questions, so we're going to ask the answer man from the Florida Times Union and Jacksonville.com, Demetrius Harvey. We'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, it's Tony Wiggins, the host of Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, where it's your team every day. And we once again thank you for making us your first listen, reminding you that we are free on all platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, you get ours for free. That's right. Make sure you lock in, tap in, subscribe to our YouTube page as well. Like that page while you're on there. I get so many people viewing it and so few people liking it. Y'all don't hate it, but I want you to like it. Today's show in this episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On. All caps, that's right, Locked On. Man, I'm so glad to be here today. I'm joined by my brother from another mother, Demetrius Harvey. Normally, we might wait to bring a guest on after I give you my spiel, but my brother is prime time, and he's going to help us go through some things today. What's up, Demetrius?
Nothing much. Just, excited. Not necessarily that the season's over, but a little bit that the season's over. You know, we had a long road, but it was definitely a really fun one. So, just excited, you know.
Yeah, I can tell. I saw your shoulders. You went, I'm just excited to be here, man. Like that Chappelle skit. Yeah, every time the dude starts talking, you shake his head a little bit, you know. Yeah, man. But look, a lot of things will come our way. So this is what we're gonna give to people. Different points of view about where the Jags are, like how did they get here, where we're going, and then with these free agents, and you heard Trent and you heard Doug talk, what the future looks like and how they're going to attack this moving forward. Because now I think all Jaguar fans believe, oh, they're going to Super Bowl now for the next 12 years. You know what I'm saying? it's like, wait a minute, hold on. Now, I know I said, one of my things here, Demetrius, is that I always wanted them to be competitive. Just get to that point, the same place Andy Reid was when he was in Philadelphia, just for 10 straight years, man. Give us a shot, right? And they went to 5 NFC championship games, went to 1 Super Bowl, didn't win it. But you got to get there before you can get there, if you know what I mean.
Yep, you really do. I mean, like, it seems kind of elementary, I guess. It's like, yeah, you want to have sustained success. You want to be able to just at least be in the conversation at the end of the day. I think that's what's been lacking in Jacksonville for so long, is that, you know, by the time November, even late November, early December came, you were talking about draft. I mean, I'm sure you know, your podcast was probably dominated by the draft talk last year by December. You know, are they going to fire Urban Meyer? Are they going to draft Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson? I mean, and after a while, that kind of conversation gets boring, you know, old. Everyone's, you know, done talking about the draft. So you just want some sustained success if you're a Jaguar fan, I'm sure. I mean, you want to be able to go into December thinking, oh, are we going to be, you know, top 2 seed, or are we going to get the first round bye? And I think that that's sort of, you know, the direction the team is headed. Now, Super Bowl every year, I'm sure everybody would love that, but that's never going to happen. I mean, it just isn't.
I will tell you something that has been altered, though. So this coming February, the second week of February, I will be in Jamaica when the Super Bowl is played, right? So I looked at my wife and my kids that planned this trip like 10 months ago, and I'm like, I know y'all used to planning stuff this time of year, but in the future, we can't do that anymore. Yep. Because if the Jags had won and get against Kansas City, I probably should have had my butt on a plane somewhere going to the Super Bowl or Radio Row or doing something, and I'd be in Jamaica chilling on the beach somewhere. So the thing is that I have to adjust. Like now, I'm like, all right, y'all, we can't plan nothing until after the Super Bowl. I just have to.
Same here. You know, one adjustment, you know, last Saturday, my friend actually had his wedding, you know, and I couldn't make it because, you know, the Jags were playing Kansas City. I didn't know that, you know, when he first sent out the invite, like I think it was last summer, I was looking at it. I told my girlfriend, yeah, we're going to go, you know, don't worry about it, whatever. And then by the time the season starts to wrap up, I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, I was like, you know what? I might not make this trip anymore. I might not make the the wedding. And, you know, it's just it's so crazy. And now I'm just like, all right, for the month of pretty much all of January and then, you know, most of February, I can't really schedule anything anymore. And
isn't that something? Yeah, isn't that something, though?
It's crazy. I mean,
just that little thing. And, you know, when folks what we get used to around here. Right. So I went to D.C. about 3 weeks ago because normally this time of year we're out of it, right? Yep. So the story is creating a story about how to cheer people up around here. So they're playing the game of the century, and I'm up in the nation's capital eating crabs. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there like I'm supposed to be home. But once again, that was a vacation. That was my wife's birthday weekend, and she said, I want to be in D.C., you know, with your friends. So the thing is, yeah, we're both right. We have to get used to doing things differently around here. And that's a good thing. So the reasons for that is Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to get into both of those cats, if you will, no pun intended, both of those Jaguars in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. First, I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. You've heard me talk about this mobile game app, and I can tell you how much fun it is to play it. Here's what happened to me, man. I was on said plane heading to Washington, D.C. to have a good time with my friends, and I went in airplane mode because I didn't have anything else to do. And I said, let me see what this game is all about that I keep promoting. And boy, the plane landed. And guess what? I did not want to get off. My wife said, you got to put your phone away. You got to get off. You got to go get a rental car, because I was having so much fun playing Ultimate Football GM. Landed in Baltimore, the entire ride from Baltimore to Washington, D.C., I was playing Ultimate Football GM. You get to hire the right coaches and coordinators. You get to trade players. You get to navigate your franchise through free agency and the draft and all the ups and downs that come with it. You even get to discipline players when they act out, if those are the type of players that you decide to draft and sign in free agency. That's right. Ultimate Football GM is a game that you will not stop playing. Locked On Jaguars listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On, all caps, in the game store. That's Locked On in all caps, so make sure to check it out today. Just download the game. Just visit Ultimate-GM.com or look it up in the App Store. That's Ultimate-GM.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. We're going to start our day the way we always do. Listen to Locked On Jaguars, making it your first listen. So, so happy to have you here. Got my man, Demetrius Harvey, here with me today from Jacksonville.com, Florida Times Union. Let me see. You got any more titles? Let's see. Jacksonville.com, Florida Times Union.
That's player, it for now.
Player from the Himalayas. T-Wigs client at the barbershop.
Yes, sir.
T-Wigs tester of the food in the cafe at the stadium.
Absolutely.
All of these things. Demetrius gets a text from me every time. What they got because of my sensitive stomach. And people laugh at me when I say that my stomach is sensitive, because they say, well, you got a whole lot of sensitivity because 200 and some odd pounds. But no, it's serious. I always say, what do they have? If I have to stop and get me something because it's something I can't eat. But truly, something that everyone has been able to stomach around here in Jacksonville is this improvement and this newfound feeling of we're really good and it's going to last. And that's because it didn't come from an all-world corner, and it didn't come from a great five technique like Calais. It came from the quarterback position and the head coach position. Give me your impressions at the conclusion of the first season with Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence together.
Absolutely. I mean, it was phenomenal. It's probably way more than anyone could have expected. I mean, I would call you a liar if you said that you thought that they were going to be AFC South champs and the offense was going to look that good and yada, 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 because, you know, everything was so bad last year that I thought, you know, it's going to take at least 1 year for this to sort of get going. And then, you know, maybe next year it'll finally, you know, take off. But really it took off from, I think, week what was it, week 14 when they played the Titans the first time. I mean, that's sort of when everything sort of clicked. You know, they went on a 5-game winning streak. They won the AFC South, get to the second round of the playoffs. I mean, everything gets an A++ for me in terms of the overall team success. And Doug Peterson, what he did for the team, you could tell every day going in that locker room, the players were happy. You know, the players were looking forward to the next game, even during that 5-game losing skid. It's not like they were pointing fingers or, you know, self-doubting or just sad. I mean, they were angry. They were motivated. You know, they want to win, but they weren't in the state of what maybe even the 2019 locker room looked like where, you know, I mean, and that season wasn't even that bad to begin with. But each week you could tell that, I mean, they weren't as together. They weren't really gelling. That was the Jalen year. There was a lot of controversies, the Tom Coughlin. None of that this year with the Jaguars. You know, I didn't have to write a single controversial article, I don't think, this season, which is crazy. So, you know, it was just a testament to Doug. And then obviously Trevor coming in and, you know, his second year putting up those numbers. I mean, you know, who would have guessed that he would drop from, you know, I think it was 17 interceptions last year, which led the league to, I believe he had 8 to end the season. I mean, it was just a dramatically improved team. I think, you know, Doug Peterson is at the catalyst of that with Trevor, you know, at his wing.
There's a big difference, too. I notice it. I'm not around the building as much as you because of other obligations, but when I am there, there is a big difference in the way Doug Peterson walks around. I mean, it's a confidence without arrogance or narcissism. Yes. But it's also not, it's not like you're just going to run up on her. You know, I'm using some vernaculars and some stuff from another world, but it's like the difference between seeing a guy that you're afraid to walk up on and you know better than to walk up on. And so I think that resonates with the players because you don't have to be a bully in order to get your point across. But yet and still, you have to be stern, and you tell them something, and they believe in you. And I think it's good that players have a guy that they want to run. They want to run through a brick wall for, as opposed to them making them run through a brick wall.
Absolutely, that's a really good point. I mean, you could see last year, people were walking on eggshells, you know, within the building. You know, we weren't in the locker room, but you could just tell by, you know, the presence of Urban and sort of, you know, what people would say, you know, outside of the locker room, you know, even from, you know, staff around the facility and how it was going. It was more like, you know, when Urban walks past, you have a feeling of, you know, from him, why are you here? Whereas when Doug walks past, it's like, hey, you know, you can say hi. It's fine.
He'll say
like,
hi to you. He'll give you a head nod.
He'll give you a head nod. He'll say whatever, you know. It, obviously, you can't just stop and have a conversation unless you know him really well. But, you know, just that at least, you know, you feel welcome. And I think that was the biggest thing is that the players felt welcome. The staff felt welcome. According to PR, all those guys, you know, they feel like they are supposed to be there. They're there for a reason. The players didn't feel like they were being, you know, commanded like they were in college anymore. They weren't punished for, you know, whatever. It was just a lot more smooth. I mean, it was just a well-run, you know, functioning staff and season.
It felt like last year when guys were coming up to the podium. And you knew it wasn't true. But, you know, guys have to put their best. It's almost like the warden says, look, you're going out there to talk, but you better not say nothing. Because if you do, when you get back, you're going to solitary. That's and I'm not saying that anyone told guys last year to lie. But you can tell guys were like putting their face. They were like, basically, it's a need to know basis almost.
Oh, they were lying.
Yeah, okay.
they were lying. I mean, like,
there's so many dudes that told the truth. Not when he left, they were like, man, it was like Shawshank around here.
They were definitely lying. You know, during training camp, even when they were doing the winner loser days, I remember who was it? Rayshon Jenkins, I believe it was, he got up there. We're like, you know, how's winner loser days? He's like, oh, I love it. None of them love that. Well, I mean, how would you feel? You know, you're going to work, you're doing something, you know, you might be competing with somebody, and then all of a sudden your boss just yells randomly, winner, whatever, loser, whatever. It's like you didn't even watch the tape. Like you don't know who's winning or losing or what's going on. Yeah. Like it was just not good. It wasn't good. They were lying.
All right. So we went down memory lane for a few minutes just to set up just how bad it was. So now we can talk about exactly how good it is. on the Mondays when I go down and I'm able to talk to the guys, you could really see, and I'm talking about, I don't go in the locker room. You can really see at the podium, the smiles are real. They're not fake. Even during the losing streak, guys were talking about staying together. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if they were an extension of the coach. It's like, I even heard people say phrases that I heard Doug say before. So that means that whatever he was telling them, they really bought into it and it resonated.
Absolutely. It all stuck, you know, the one game at a time mentality, all the buzzwords that they were given were real. You know, they actually felt that, you know, we have to, you know, learn how to win. That was a lot of the conversation during the first, 7 weeks of the season when they were on that, five game losing streak. They had to figure out on offense, how they were supposed to gel, the chemistry, all that good stuff. You know, it was very transparent, honestly, throughout the entire year of how they were actually feeling. And it really did resonate from what Doug said. You know, Doug would tell them in the locker room or in the team meetings, hey, we're gonna go on this run, and then by week 18 it's gonna come down to us and the Titans for the division title. And he told them that, I believe, they talk about the crystal ball. I believe it was after the first Titans game or maybe before it, but either way, he had a vision, he had a plan, and he stuck to it. And I think that's the most important part, was that Doug was very consistent in what he said. What he said in training camp held true through the regular season, which held true through the last couple games in the postseason. So, I think that's really what got all the players to buy in, and you see the success that they had.
We're going to talk about some individual players and talk about Doug and Trent's comments, Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson, that gives you hope that they'll be able to bring many of these guys who are free agents, they'll be able to bring them back. We'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. I have to let you know that today's sponsor is someone that I am super, super excited about, and that is FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. They're down to four teams, and there's nothing like FanDuel, where our new sports betting partner of Locked On, they are the number one sports book in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today and get started with $150 in free bets. That's right, guaranteed. When you place your first $5 bet, just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to the point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. Well, football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet, $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Now, I love FanDuel. I have been rocking with FanDuel for almost 10 years, and it is the absolute truth, and you can enjoy it too. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, man, we're going to roll along here with Demetrius Harvey. Demetrius, there's a lot of talk about, okay, who can they keep? And we tell people every year that salary cap isn't real. And if you don't believe it, look at Washington and look at New Orleans. We tell them every year the cap is not real. But yet and still, folks get up in arms. They do this about the salary cap, and they also do this about, I ain't going to say they, all of us. They do it about the cap. They also do it about when it comes to re-signing veterans. And they look at these contracts that says 4 years for $1 billion, and they go, we can't do that. And we're like, yeah, but $950 million of it is not even, it's not guaranteed. So folks, ignore the guaranteed money, and they also ignore the fact that the cap ain't real. Well, Trent Baalke basically said yesterday, cap ain't your problem, cash. It's about cash, not cap. We can find cap space. And that's what I have been telling people forever. The one I'm stuck on is Juwan Taylor, because there's just this feeling that, let him go. So you're going to let go of 25, 26-year-old right tackle with all of these starts, right? Who, in my opinion, was your best offensive lineman this year. You're going to let him go while Walker Little, who hasn't proven to be a starter for a long time, and he had his warts the other day against Frank Clark. That is for a team that's going to win, Walker Little is the perfect swing tackle. We are so used to just filling boxes. We don't understand that if you let Juwan Taylor walk, put anybody, whether it's Cam or Walker, at right tackle. One, the position has gotten worse because he is the best right tackle on the team. Two, when you go out and pay $4.5-5 million for a free agent to come in and be your swing tackle, because that's the other only alternative you have other than using a second or a third round pick to draft one, and you don't know, right? And you're right back in the same situation. Trevor Lawrence being protected, like Doug said, is number one, is the number one priority. In both of the scenarios I gave you, if you let Walker bounce, whether you sign a veteran or not, you're paying more money to that veteran than you're probably paying Walker Little on a rookie deal as a second round pick. Two, if you draft a guy, you're probably not as good as you are now.
Yeah.
Why would you get worse at the most critical position on the team when you have a franchise quarterback?
I completely agree. You know, obviously before the season, I would have been like, yeah, Juwan's probably going to end up walking, and then you let Walker Little, you know, retain that starting spot if he had won it in training camp. But Juwan won it outright, and then excelled. You know, he looked like the best offensive lineman on the team, especially in pass protection throughout, if not all of the season, the large majority of it. You know, he gave up the fewest amount of pressures, I believe, with, I think it was 25, according to PFF. You know, some of those numbers don't really mean anything, but it gives you a little bit of insight into, you know, just how well he played. And you're right. If you look at it, the Jaguars aren't paying the $300 million, $500 million contracts to Trevor Lawrence. This is the time that they need to take in order to surround him with as much talent as possible, spend the money in terms of, you know, getting key positions locked up and move forward. You know, if you let Juwan walk right now, you're right. You're going to put Walker Little at right tackle, which he's only played, you know, a few preseason games at the position, training camp. You know, you can't really move. Are you really moving Cam Robinson from left tackle after you just paid him $18 million per season last year to right tackle, which he's never played? That doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, it you know, obviously it's going to come down to numbers at the end of the day. You know, I believe Juwan's agent is Drew Rosenhaus, who is notorious for getting all the money that he can. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Jaguars get priced out of what they want him for or how much they value him. But, you know, it would be a shame if they didn't, you know, at least try, which they absolutely will. You know, they're going to try to re-sign him. I think that it makes sense. If you think about it, Cam's deal pretty much is only a 2-year deal, you know, this year and the next year. And then after that, they can, you know, cut him or do whatever they want. You don't know how he's going to be coming off that knee injury, which is the second knee injury of his career, which lost him, you know, pretty much all of his second season. And then, you know, the last bit of this season. So it was just, with all that uncertainty, I just feel like it should be a priority for them to bring back Juwan. You want to protect Trevor Lawrence. You want to invest in players around him. It just doesn't make sense not to have that depth at tackle. You know, Walker Little is a good swing tackle. You have him for at least 2 more years. It just doesn't make sense to go a different direction to me.
And folks throw around the compensatory pick excuse or reason a lot. It's not an excuse. It's true.
Yeah.
But they always leave this out. You only get compensatory picks if you don't sign other free agents. This is what I was told. I was told this by a person that works in the front office. No, if you sign more than you lose, you don't get compensatory. You don't get a compensatory pick just because the dude left.
Yeah. You have to basically not sign anyone.
And you got to not sign anybody. And if you do that, that goes away. But screw a third round pick. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you're losing your best offensive lineman. I want people to let that sink in. And a lot of folks are saying, well, no, re-sign Arden and re-sign Evan and let him walk. I'm thinking, like, are you kidding me? My eyes are about to bust out of my head that you'd lose your best offensive lineman or the guy that played the best this year in this system. And we can talk about whether it was because of the contract year, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can talk about the fact that he wasn't coached really well before, right? So you lose a guy who protects your quarterback. Doug basically said yesterday when asked, he said, you like Trevor?
Yeah.
Well, and I remember, do you remember somebody asked Balky that last year and he chuckled? He was like,
yeah,
get rid of Juwan Taylor. He's a good. I don't know. I don't understand. And I don't get, even if you didn't know those two things I just said, why do people that we know who know this game think that they're going to let a 25-year-old right tackle walk out of the door when you got a franchise quarterback. It makes absolutely no sense to do that, especially if you don't have to do it and you can still re-sign Ingram and you can still re-sign Arden Key.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unless the numbers are so dramatic, which they could be, you know, it could be that, you know, some team is willing to pay Juwan $24 million per year. And at that point, maybe you're like, okay, we can't do that.
I can't do that, right.
Right, right. So that makes sense. But to let him walk on purpose and then, you know, say, okay, we got to invest only in, you know, Arden Key or only in Evan Ingram, who I think they should bring back, especially Evan. It just doesn't make sense. You know, I just really feel like the way that they have the contract set up with Cam Robinson, the way that they have a couple more years with Walker still, just makes sense to invest heavily into that, you know, 25-year-old, 26-year-old right tackle. I just really do think it makes the most sense for this team moving forward.
Arden Key came off of a 6-sack season with the 49ers, and they were a playoff team. And he came here to the Jaguars, got less sacks, he played well. That's not my point. My point is he was in a better situation last year and decided to come here for less money, even when the Jaguars had already drafted someone, right? Or they had the number one pick, and most people thought they were going to take an edge, and they had Josh Allen. I don't know why people think that Arden Key won't come back here for a good deal. So the last thing I want to talk about is these one-year deals. Evan Neal and Arden Key both had one-year deals, and people saw that number, and they're like, we can't give them that number again or a little higher. Here's how you get around it. Yes, you can. It's the same reason that you take that you're glad when you reach a contract extension with Cam Robinson, so you could take that 1 year hefty franchise tag off, give him another deal with a bunch of guaranteed cash, and this is what Trent Baalke's talking about, cash, and don't worry about the average per. So Drew Rosenhaus is going to want the average per to be high, because when you have a total number of say like $80 million. And I don't know what the number is. I think the number is like 61%. They want 61% of that $80 million guarantee, right? Which is like $48 million. So there's a way around that. The way around it to say is this. We'll give you the 48. We're just going to take that number per down so we can make the first year less and put all this other baggage in the back of this contract. So the key is to get into a 4 or 5 year deal. The key is to get Evan Neal to a 3 or 4 year deal. The key is to get Arden Key to a 2 or 3 year deal so you can front load it with cash and have the per year down and the cap number lower, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. You just give them a big signing bonus, like, you know, $20 million over 4 years, whatever. And then that prorates $5 million per year. You add the average years or the average salary in there, and then you get the cap number. I mean, it just lowers the cap the first year, which is what you want. I mean, that's what they need. They're going to be around, I think it is $24 million over the cap before they make any moves, you know, cutting maybe Shaq Griffin, things like that.
And he takes care of more than half of that by himself.
Yeah, he'll take care of most of that. You got to figure out maybe Roy Robertson-Harris, things of that nature. But, it's not like Evan Ingram. I think they paid him $9 million for 1 year this year. He's going to maybe command $13 million per year just based on, you know, Jonnu Smith, what the Patriots for some reason signed him to. And so, you know, his contract might look big, but then once you see the cap figure, it's not going to be that much this season. I think that's how they got to work it, you know, until Trevor gets that massive contract and then you have a whole new solution.
But you and I agree that all of those guys we mentioned will be back.
I'll say this. I think Evan and I think Arden will probably be back. I'm not sure about Juwan. I mean, I think he's going to be a priority. I just don't know how much he's going to command. I think that's the biggest issue. I know
tag him.
He should be back. He should be back.
Tag him. I'm sorry, young fella. We love you, but bang, you ain't got no choice. You ain't going nowhere unless somebody gives us a first. That's it. Tag him.
They did that with Cam last year. So.
Did it with Cam twice, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Didn't they? So
I believe it was once, but it's fine.
Once, yeah. Okay, yeah, but one time. But they were ready to do it two times if they had to. So, you know, I don't mind them doing it again if that's what they have to do. Man, it's been fun as always. I'm sure before it's all said and done, we'll get together again before the draft. Hopefully, if you're out of your busy schedule, you got 75 jobs now, so it's hard to catch up with you. But, man, I appreciate you joining us here today. I'll see you in the barbershop here before probably a week.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely within the week.
No doubt. My man, Demetrius Harvey, FloridaTimesUnionJacksonville.com. Make sure you check him out. What's your handle on Twitter? Is it like Demetrius82?
@Demetrius82. Yep.
@Demetrius82. All right. As always, guest of here, Locked On Jaguars. He's my family. So we welcome him. And we welcome you guys to join us again tomorrow. You know, I was going to say it'll be crossover time, but damn it, we don't have a game. So you're just going to get me tomorrow without a crossover edition. Tomorrow on Locked On Jaguars. You guys take care of each other, and we'll see you next time.